I'm going to get right into the word. And I don't know if you had an opportunity to be here this morning for the 9 o'clock, but please listen to Pastor Lincoln's message, because when I tell you the Lord aligned our messages, he certainly did, and I thank him for that confirmation. If you would go with me to 2 Kings chapter 4, I'm going to start at verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 4. Verse 1, it reads, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, Elisha, and he said, Go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Hallelujah. This story, I've read it. And just like so many times when we are actually studying God's word, he brings out something totally new. And when I read this, it just blessed my soul. There's so much in these 7 verses. And I'm hoping that I'm able to share what God shared with me. Back then, in these times, widows and orphans, there's a reason why God spoke about us supporting and blessing orphans, especially women that were widows. Because back then, if a woman wasn't married or she didn't have a father to take care of her, or her husband died, she was left desolate. And in this situation, this woman, her husband had died and he owed a debt that they obviously could not pay. And in return for that debt, she had her sons for security after her husband was gone. But because of that debt, they were coming to take her sons to be slaves. She went to Elisha. If you're familiar with Elisha in the Bible, he was a student and a mentee of Elijah. They were both prophets of God. And before the Lord took Elijah home to be with him, Elijah asked Elisha, What can I give you? And he said, a double portion of your spirit. He saw the power that God had given Elijah, and he wanted Elijah to leave him with a double portion of that power. And Elijah told him, if you see me when I leave, then you'll be blessed with that power. And sure enough, Elisha did see Elijah when the Lord caught him up to heaven. And Elisha was blessed with that power, that double portion. And he used it accordingly to show the grace and love and mercy of God to the people that were around him by doing these types of miracles. The first thing that I want to point out is when this woman was in need, she knew her source. She knew where to go. When we have an issue, when we have a problem, when we have a concern, sometimes we run to everything and everybody else but God. This woman knew Elisha. She knew the power that came through Elisha. And so she went to him knowing that her source could provide her with an answer. The Lord knows our needs. He knows all of the needs. He knows things that we want as well. He just simply wants us to come to him. He tells us to bring our cares to him, to lay them down before him. The Lord knows what we need before we even ask. But he still tells us to ask. And the word tells us that we can come with boldness, knowing that if we ask anything according to his will, not only does he hear us, but he answers. Hallelujah. So that's the first thing that just screamed out to me in this passage was this woman in her state that she was in, she went to the source where she knew she could get help that she needed. Elisha said to her in verse 2, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." In this scripture, the house represents our body, our temple. That's what Pastor Lincoln spoke about this morning, giving our body to the Lord. And the oil in this scripture, it represents the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So he asked her, "What does she have?" And she said, "I just have this little bit of oil in the house." Why are we so satisfied with just a little? The word of God says he wants to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. But we're just satisfied with just a little, if anything, of God. We take in everything in this world, all the culture, all the music, all the things that this world has to offer. And we accept and are satisfied with little to nothing that has to do with the Lord, especially the Holy Spirit. This enemy is so bent against us knowing and being filled with the Holy Spirit because he knows the power behind it. He causes man to fear speaking in tongues when there is a power in having the Holy Spirit and speaking and praying in tongues, because the Holy Spirit can utter through us what we don't even know to pray. There's so much power in it, and that's why the enemy fights it the way that he does. Let's talk about the oil, the Holy Spirit, and the purpose of it in our lives. God's word tells us that he left it to be our comforter, our helper. It teaches us all truths. It guides us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." The Holy Spirit, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, it comes to live in us. It indwells in us. And it empowers us to become that new creature. You see, I cannot, Angela, in and of myself, I can't walk the will of God like he would have me to do. I have to rest and I have to lean on the Holy Spirit to do that work in me. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us to become that new creature. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us to die daily so that the Lord can live in us and through us. Because if I don't depend on that, if I depend on myself, I can't do it. I've tried too many times, and I'm sure you have too. We must rely on the Holy Spirit for that power. Ephesians 5 and 18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." I've read that scripture any a number of times, and reading it this time just made a different sound. Wonder why God used wine as a comparison to the Holy Spirit. Intoxicants like wine, drugs, alcohol, those things alter you. They alter your personality. You may be a quiet person, but when you drink, you become, you know, really overactive and wild. Or you may become, I've seen people get angry and want to fight all of a sudden. You know, it makes you feel a way that you would normally feel. It takes control of you. And that's what the Holy Spirit should be doing in us. Just like this person or being drunk with wine instead of being drunk on alcohol or drugs or whatever it is your preference is. We should be drunk on the Holy Spirit and allow that Holy Spirit that dwells in us to control us, to move us left and right, forward and back. Take us to the places that the Lord wants us to go. Listen to the music that God wants us to listen to. Spend our time in prayer and doing things that God wants us to do instead of what the world and what we want to do ourselves. If you don't allow that Holy Spirit in you to do the work, the sanctification process will not be carried out. And you might make it in, but you're going to make it in the way you came. And that's not the goal. The goal is for us to become more like Jesus every single day. Less like myself. Paul said, I die daily. Daily, every day I get up, I take up my cross. All of it. Take up your cross. Deny yourself. That's the first one. Got to do that first. If you don't deny yourself, you're going to do what you want to do for the day instead of what God wants you to do. Be not drunk with wine, where is excess. Absolute waste of your time, but be filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we are afforded with gifts through the Holy Spirit. I don't remember when, but our pastors, you can look it up in the archives and search for gifts. They did a very good teaching on all the gifts, not the fruit of the Spirit, but the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we have through the Holy Spirit, not for ourselves. And this is how you know man misuses them so many times, because they use them to glorify themselves or their ministry or to make money. When the Lord blesses us with a gift, he doesn't give it to us for us. He gives it to us to glorify him and to edify the saints, to edify the church. So whether that's a ministry, whether it's prophecy, whether it's healing, whatever that gift is, those come through the power of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to start at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I'm going to stop there for now. These are the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us helps us to develop those fruit of the Spirit. And I don't know about you, but that's not always easy. Because there are things that we struggle with, and there are things that we battle with, and we have been since we accepted the Lord. But oh, if we allow him to do that work in us. I look back at myself a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and there are things that just come so much easier for me. Not because it's easy, but because I'm resting. And I'm allowing that Holy Spirit to do the work in me. I'm going to get personal for a minute. I'm 48 years old, and my entire adult life, I have struggled with my weight up and down because I have horrible diet or eating habits. I don't like working out, any of those things. And I'm a healthcare professional, so I know better. I have a family history of diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol, all of it, textbook. And I've always struggled because I learned these bad habits growing up. My parents learned it from their parents and so on. I lost both of my biological parents way too early. My mom at 58, my dad at 68. And I say biological because I still have a parent living because my mom married my dad that raised me. And something happened after my dad died a couple of years ago. Because I had always been convicted about, you know, different things. And I've been on this health journey of my own, trying to figure it out and do it on my own. And 18 to 48, 30 years it has taken, because I had a breakthrough just this year. God revealed to me that my battle was not about food, I've not been one to ever even try drugs. I've tried alcohol. It didn't do anything. But food was my drug. It has been. Whether I'm emotionally eating or I'm happy eating or I'm sad eating, I'm eating to fill a void. I'm eating to please my flesh. And that overeating had caused me to have issues with my cholesterol and borderline blood pressure. No issues with blood sugar just yet, but it's coming. It was coming because, you know, it's in my genetics and I'm following the same patterns that my family's following. And I was just reading through the scripture. And let me just preface this by saying, Pastor was mentioning about fasting this morning, and I've always fasted for, when I have in the past, it's been for spiritual reasons, but I've learned a way to do it for my health. Not just spiritual health, but physical, emotional, and physical health. And that thing has helped me not just heal my body from the inside out, but heal my mind, heal my emotions, and that fruit of the spirit, temperance. Self-control, God has given me, through that, God has given me self-control where I never had it. It took 30 years, and I'm saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and all that, but I was doing it on my own, and I wasn't resting and relying on the Lord to assist me in that. So if I'm hoping it doesn't take 30 years for you, whatever it is you struggle with. But for me, that's what it was. And unlike alcohol or drugs, when you leave those things alone, you leave them alone, but you got to eat. So that's probably one of the hardest addictions for people to get over, or the hardest things that people struggle with. So since you have to eat, you have to find a way to control that so it doesn't control you. So you don't have all the issues. And I completed my lab work recently, and for the first time since 2011, my cholesterol was perfect. Perfect. And it's not me, it's God doing the work in me. It's me allowing him to do that work. Me resting and relying on him to teach me things about my body. You know, not to put things, certain processed foods and sugars and things that I know aren't good for me. Maybe every now and then, but for the most part, eat things that are healthy for me. It's just something we know, but we don't do because we're trying to feed our flesh. So whatever it is you struggle with, it may not be that, but there is something, because we all struggle with things. Those are the things that the Holy Spirit, all the gifts, becoming that new creature, God helps you become the person that he wants you to be. And it's not about my weight, it's about my health. It's about taking care of my body and my temple. Because when I'm at my best, I can be his best. If I'm sick and I'm weighed down, I can't be the minister of God that he wants me to be. I can't be the witness that he wants me to be. So whatever it is, like I said, gotta allow that Holy Spirit to come in and do the work. Let me move on. In verse 3, he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. Why are there so few of us? So few, full. Why are there so many people that are full of all these things, but empty of the Holy Spirit? In that same part of Galatians in chapter 5, verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, As I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So, like the world, sadly, many believers, instead of being filled with the Holy Spirit, those are the things that they fill themselves with. And so there's no room for the Holy Spirit. We sing a song, empty me, you know, of all the things that are not like you. Fill me with your spirit. The name of the song is Fill Me. The author realized that in order to be filled, first you got to be emptied. If I have a cup of water right here and I decide I want to drink some juice, but this cup is full, I can't pour the juice in there because it's full of water. So what is it that you need to pour out today in your life so that you have room, so that you can become that empty vessel that God needs you to be, so he can fill you with the Holy Spirit, so he can develop those fruit of the Spirit in you and all the gifts of the Spirit, so he can help you to become that new creature in Christ. I don't know like you, but I don't want to be like Mike. I want to be like Christ. More like him each and every day. I want to spend time in my word. I want to spend time in prayer. Not a minute prayer. You may start out that way, but I mean, you need to get in there and cry out to the Lord until you are touched from heaven, because he will meet you where you are. And he will fill you if you ask to be filled. But if we sit around and we continue to fill ourselves with hours of social media, TV, music that is not edifying Christ at all, we cannot continue to dump the world in our temples, in our hearts, and in our minds. That stuff sticks. My grandfather, he was a pastor of the church I grew up in. He used to tell me, Angela, be careful who you hang around, baby, because we're like sponges and you soak up what you're around. So you need to be mindful of who you call your friends and your associates and people that you communicate with on a regular basis. Verse 4 said, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and thy sons. And thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Shut the door. Two things stood out to me there. This oil is not for everyone. It's only for those who are in Christ. It's not for the world, unless they decide to surrender their life to him. Most of them don't even understand what the Holy Spirit is. They ridicule it. They talk about it. When I see those things on TV, it makes me cringe. Shut the door. He told them to shut the door because it was only meant for them. But something else stood out. In order for them to receive from the Lord, they had to shut the door to the outside. Sometimes for us to receive from the Lord, we have to shut the door to our family, to our friends, to the phone, to the TV, whatever it is that's distracting you and keeping you from your word and keeping you from your time and prayer. You got to shut that door and tell it no and make God a priority in your life. It's important. And if you don't shut that door, you may be keeping yourself from receiving what God has for you. If I'm out of town and I have to miss a message, I go back and I look at that archive, because whoever spoke that day, the Lord may have had a word for me, and I want to get that word, whatever it was, because it may have been just for me. So shut the door to all the things, the culture. God's word tells us to be dead to sin, dead to this world, and alive to Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Newness of life. All these things that had you bound, when you were in the world? No, you're not bound to those things anymore unless you choose to be. Because when he was buried, symbolically, we're buried. And because he was raised and he overcame, we are overcomers in him. So you don't have to yield your members to those things anymore. And because you have the Spirit in you, you can walk in the Spirit. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. You got to know that. You got to get that. In him, we are all powerful. In him, we know things, not because we know it, but because he does. And if God is going before you in your everyday, you can't go wrong. He's going to lead you in the path of righteousness. I'm going to read the end of Galatians 5, 24 through 25. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's what I'm encouraging you to do. To live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. To become that empty vessel so that you can be filled. And you know, they ran out of empty vessels in this story. But this world is full of empty vessels. And guess what? God's oil will continue to pour. It will continue to pour in his people. And as he pours into us, it is our responsibility to go out into the world and pour into them. That is why we are here. That is why the Holy Spirit lives in us. That is why he asks us to be filled so that we can be a blessing to someone else. That last verse says, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell oil and pay thy debt and live thou and thy children of the rest. See, that's how God blesses. That's how God blesses us. Ephesians 3:20. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly and above all that we can ask or think. That's the God that I serve. I can go to him for a little and I get more than enough. I have what I need and then some to share. See, when we know the source and we go to that source, and she was obedient to what she was told to do. Again, there is a blessing in obedience. Has she done anything differently? Got a couple of fewer pots than she was told or left the door open? The Lord wouldn't have been able to do the work that he did, but because she went to the right source, she surrendered and was obedient to that source, God was able to bless her above and beyond what she even asked for. They paid off the debtors and they were able to live. He said, live. So for the rest of their lives, they lived off that. That's the power of the Holy Spirit in us. It allows us to walk this walk and live it out. And to not just be a blessing to us, but a blessing to others. Thank you, Jesus. As I close, I just want to encourage you once again to just place your faith properly in the cross, in the sacrifice that Jesus made. That is our source. That is our source. And to surrender and be obedient to what our God, our Savior, asks us to do, because there's a blessing in it. May not always feel like a blessing sometimes, but God's word says those who are in Christ shall suffer persecution. Our walk is not going to be without issues or problems. Look at Jesus. He was killed. He was perfect. And they killed him. We're going to suffer and we're going to go through. But with the Lord, we know that even in death, we are victors. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. If you'll bow with me, I'll pray as I close. Lord, I thank you. I thank you and I praise you, Lord, because you are worthy above all. Lord, we need you. We need you like never before. Lord, I want to be that empty vessel. And everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord God, They may also want to be that empty vessel. If they don't, Lord God, give them that desire. Give them a hunger and a thirst, Lord God, for you. If they don't have that. If they're listening online, God, and they don't know you and the pardon of their sin, Lord God, put someone in their path that can teach them about you and your ways. Lord, we want to be empty, Lord God, so we can be full of everything that you have for us today. So that we can pour out to the world and those around us the gospel of Jesus Christ, the saving gospel of Jesus. Oh God, help us. Help us, Lord God, to decrease so that you can increase in us more and more each and every day. Lord, I thank you. We praise you. And we just ask you to help us, God, to empty ourselves of this world so we can be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Oh, we thank you for that word, Jesus. We thank you for that on-time word. Father, just help us, Lord. Help us to yield to you, Father. Help us to simply say, Lord, we are empty and we need you. Father, we are hungry, we are thirsty, and we can only be filled by you. Father, we just thank you for that word. We thank you for the truth that was spoken. We thank you for the life that has just been given to us, Lord. Help us to be doers of this word, Father. Help us to leave here, Lord, craving more of you, more of what you have. And Lord, when you speak, help us to simply be obedient. Amen. Amen. That was a great, great message. I truly do think that there was something for everybody. So thank you. Yes. Couple of quick announcements. If you haven't given, now is the time to do so. As you guys know, there are several ways to give. So if you're online, you can also scroll down and hit the donate button as well. So please feel free to give. Also, this Friday at 10 p.m., from 10 p.m. to midnight, we are having our Ignite prayer service. So that's from 10 p.m. to midnight. Please come out. Please press in. We want to see every face that is out here. So please come out, whether, you know, you can pray for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Just come out, press in, and grow in prayer, because we all need to pray more. And last but not least, of course, March 3rd is Turn Clocks Forward. I think that's Spring, I don't know, Savings or something like that. Spring Forward. Yeah, I don't know. Something. Daylight Savings. Something. Y'all know it. So please just turn your clocks forward. And if you don't, you simply be early to church, which is always good, right? So, yeah. Well, with that being said, thank you for your time. Thank you for coming out for service. And just rise real quick and I will pray for us and dismiss us. Heavenly Father, we are grateful because we are able to come into a place of worship and simply just hear your word, Father. We are thankful for the truth. We are thankful for your presence. We are thankful for your spirit. Father, help us to leave here knowing that you are with us. Help us to leave here being confident, Father, in the love that you have for us, Lord. And help us to know that if we truly are empty, Lord, that you will always, always fill us up. So, Father, we thank you for your presence. We honor you and we bless you and we give you all the glory. Amen. You're dismissed. See you guys on Wednesday for Bible study.